What a blessing it is to be here this morning, and just excited. The Lord's just been really ministering to my heart, and this message that I'm going to bring this morning. And I spent some time in Germany with my wife in June and July. We were visiting her parents, and the Lord just really stirred my heart during that time and really refreshed my heart. And so while I was actually busy preparing this message for a men's ministry in Cape Town, while I was busy with it, De Beer phoned me and he said, you know, don't you want to come share a message at Somerset West? And it was almost like the Lord was just going, like, what you're busy with now, this is what I want you to share. And it was just such a blessing. So I thought, okay, I'll have to get this by Dimitri. And Dimitri is the pastor at Calvary Chapel Cape Town. And I'm part of the leadership there. And obviously, you know, we're pretty involved with the setup and with everything. And so I wrote to him. I said, you know, Tobias asked me if I can come. And so he said, well, okay, I'll make an exception this time. And he said, but if you go, you got to tell the people about the Africa conference. And I said, okay, cool, I will. But Henry has already done that, so I feel relieved. I think Henry did a great job just sharing about the Africa conference. You know, if you haven't signed up, you know, it's really a blessing. And I think you can speak to anybody here that has been there. You walk away really blessed, and it's just a time of refreshing. So, like I said, my name is Walter. My wife, Melanie, is here with me this morning, for those that do not know me. And I'm part of the leadership in Cape Town, and I still have a full-time job, though. I'm involved in the tourism industry, and I'm just blessed when I get the chance to share. So today's going to be just a little bit different. You know, there are quite a number of scriptures that we're going to turn to, so I just thought, you know, there's not one specific passage that you will be turning to. And I just thought it would be easier, you know, if some I just make reference to, and if you're taking notes, you can just write the reference down. But just for the sake of time, that we don't turn to every single one of them. But we will definitely turn to three or four or five scriptures definitely during that time. So let's just commit the time to the Lord this morning and just ask His blessing on His word. Our Father, thank You that we can come together to study Your word, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that Your word is such a blessing to us, Lord, that we can learn and study and just get to know You and our relationship towards You and what You expect of us. And Lord, every single detail, Lord God, is given to us in Your word, Lord. And we just want to pray, Lord, that this morning Your Spirit might just take Your word and minister to us, Lord Jesus. We ask for that in Your name. Amen. And so the title of today's message is, This is the Secret. This is the Secret. Now, we'll as we go through it, you know, you'll actually realize it's not such a big secret, but it's just something that we almost take for granted. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's in 1 Corinthians 3:16, for those who are taking notes. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And he's asking this question, and it's not only once that he's asking this question, he actually mentions it a number of times. That word know, he's actually saying, do you not understand? Do you not perceive? Do you not comprehend? Are you not aware of the fact that you are a temple of God? Just thinking about Paul as he's writing this, somebody that's got full understanding of the Old Testament, and just thinking about that passage where Solomon dedicates the temple, where the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And here when he's asking that question, do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the glory of the Lord really has come into you, has filled you as a believer. If you are a believer, the glory of the Lord is inside of you. He himself is dwelling inside of you. So do you not understand? Do you not comprehend? Are you not aware of the fact that you are a temple of God, a house of God, the habitation of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that He is remaining in you? I love the fact that in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he also says something else. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we have this treasure, we've got this wealth, we've got this valuable treasure inside earthen vessels, inside of clay jars, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That word excellence, that the brilliance of the power, that the greatness of the power may be of God and not of us. So just putting it really plainly, putting it in really simple terms for us to understand, what he's actually saying is like the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. He's that treasure inside of these clay jars. Clay jars were common. Everybody could afford clay jars, but not everybody had a treasure. But we've got this treasure in clay jars. We've got this wealth in us, and that is the Holy Spirit. Another passage in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he says, "Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" So here he uses different terminology. I think sometimes as Christians, we become so accustomed to the fact that, you know, we hear about the Holy Spirit and we've been given the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when we come to salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit, that it almost becomes, we become almost numb to it. You know, all the songs and everything is just about that. And, you know, you don't take full notice of the fact. And here, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? He merely uses different terminology. And he's going, Jesus Christ, instead of using the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is inside of you? And just going like, Lord, do I live like that? Do I live with that awareness that I am a temple of God? That the Holy Spirit has filled me if I am a believer? That he is inside of me? That Jesus Christ himself, as this scripture says, that Jesus Christ is in you. So sometimes we know these things, we know them intellectually, but do we actually live that out during the week? Do we depend upon the Holy Spirit? Do we have a relationship of dependence, of continual reliance upon him as we walk through the week that we go, Lord, I can't deal with this situation. Lord, can you step in? And even the situations that we think that we can deal with, just go, Lord, you know, I just want to glorify you in this situation. Just pray that you might guide me, that you might lead me, that you might take charge of the situation. So a continual reliance upon the Holy Spirit inside of us, that there's this communion with the Holy Spirit continually as we depend upon him, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That whatever we do, that his power is worked out through us. That's what it means to be a Christian. So just a thought, you know, if the Holy Spirit would have not been here last week, how would that have made your life different? Just thinking about the last week, would you have noticed? Would you have been, man, you know, I absolutely depend upon him. I'm continually communing with him, saying, Lord, you know, I need your help in this situation. I need your guidance here, not only for the big things, but continually, you know, as we in our jobs, as we, in our families, the way we communicate with our wives, the way we communicate with our friends, everything, the way we communicate with the children, just going, Lord, you know, like, I know what to do. The Bible tells me what to do. But I need your power to do this. I need your power to actually live the Christian life. So do you act upon the reality that you are a temple of God? And do you walk with that awareness? Are you conscious of that? That you are the temple of God? That the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? That Jesus Christ himself dwells in you? I want you to turn with me to Galatians 2. So Galatians 2:20, I think some of you might know this off by heart, this verse. It's a verse that really stands out in the book of Galatians, especially in chapter 2. So here in Galatians 2:20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. If we look at it in that context, we see that within the context of Galatians chapter 2, he's saying we're not justified by our own works, not by our own doings. We're not justified by our own works, but we are justified by Jesus Christ. And here as he's continuing, I believe that he's saying, I've been crucified with Christ, that person that seeks to be justified before Christ in his own strength. That person. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But Jesus Christ lives in me. And then he continues and he says, and the life that I now live. So he's saying he's still living the life. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As we look at that verse, as we look at the fact that what it's saying, what Paul is saying here, what the Holy Spirit is saying, I've been crucified with Christ, I've been put out the way. It is no longer I who live within this human body, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in this human body, I live by faith in the Son of God, the one who dwells in me. Because we've just been told, Christ lives in me. So the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do I do that? This life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So the one that's dwelling inside of me, I no longer live this life, but he lives inside of me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I am communing with the Holy Spirit. I'm relying upon him. I'm depending upon him. I'm trusting in him. And here, like I said, the Bible uses it interchangeably, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it uses Jesus Christ actually dwelling inside of us. I think to just give us a better understanding that it's God himself that's residing inside of the believer. Okay, I understand. I've been crucified with Christ. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this human body, I live by faith in the Son of God. I need to access that. I need to depend upon the Holy Spirit. I need to rely upon him by faith. So there's a continual dependency upon the Lord, upon Jesus Christ who dwells inside of me, that I'm depending upon him to live his life through me, really, through my personality. God has created us as individuals. He's given us a distinct personality, each single one of us. But he wants to infuse his nature into our personality, his character to show forth, the fruit of the Spirit that is his character. And if we as believers try to live the life as a Christian in our own strength, we cannot do it. The only thing that we can accomplish is that we absolutely start acting. Because we realize we cannot do this in our strength, what God is actually asking us to do. So I'm going to try my best to do it, but we actually realize that we're failing at doing what God is asking us to do because we can't achieve the impossible. God says, be holy as I'm holy. Be perfect as I'm perfect. I mean, that's, you know, when you think about it, you know, with all respect, he knows that we can only fulfill that with himself dwelling inside of us. Because otherwise it would be an absolute impossible request that he's asking of us. To say, I want you to live like me. I want you to live like me. Just thinking about, we died with Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. We died with Christ on the cross. Our sins were forgiven at that stage. Imagine God would say, okay, now that you know that your sins are forgiven, do this Christian life on your own. Just go do it. Your sins are forgiven. Just with that amazing feeling, that amazing hope, or the just knowing that I've been forgiven, that amazing relief, if that would be enough for us to live the Christian life from now on, how sad that would be. Because that's not enough power. Although our salvation was such a brilliant thing and we love it, we realize that that itself does not actually give us the power to live the Christian life. It's not the redemption of Jesus Christ, but it's the regeneration. So it's not only that we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, he's purchased us with his blood, but he's also regenerated us. He's given us a new heart and a new spirit, and then he's given us his spirit too. So when you look at Romans 7, that's beautiful in Romans 7, where Romans 7 is the man that's been regenerated. He's been born again, and he says, I can't live like a Christian. The will to do the right thing inside of me is there. It is present, but I don't have the power to live that life. So the Spirit desires for us to live that life. Our spirit, the new man, desires for us to live that life. But we still don't have the power except with Jesus Christ. Except with Jesus Christ, we've got the power to live that life. I want you to turn with me to Colossians 1. Another beautiful scripture that speaks about the same thing, that Jesus Christ lives inside of us. In Colossians 1, I want to read from verse 26. I want to read 26 and 27. Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. The reason why I started there, I mean, you can read everything in its context. I encourage you to read it in its context. But Paul is speaking in the verses before. He's just saying that he's a minister. He's received a stewardship. And the stewardship is this mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And then in verse 27 he says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So to them, speaking about the saints, to the saints God willed, God wished, God desired to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That word Gentiles is ethnos. So that's speaking about nations, it's speaking about tribes, it's speaking about races. And when you read it in context, you know, Paul also speaks about another mystery, and that is the Gentiles. He speaks about another mystery in Ephesians 3. But when we look at this, it's specifically speaking about something else. Because it says, okay, to them, to the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. So God wants to make known to the saints how amazing this mystery is, which is among the nations. And then he says, which is, as you see in that word, in verse 9, where he says, which is Christ in you. That which is referring to the mystery in the previous verse. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love the way the New Living Translation translates that last phrase. It says, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Actually, so simple. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. In verse 26, when he said, this is the mystery that's been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Beautiful part. The new covenant. That's what it's speaking about.
clearly speaking about the new covenant. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, of this secret thing, of this hidden thing, among the Gentiles, among the ethnos, among the nations, among the tribes, among the races, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, that Jesus Christ dwelling inside of us. So Jesus lives in me. He wants to express his life through my individuality, through my personality. We cannot try to act Christian, because that's an impossibility. By doing that, we place ourselves under the law. By doing that, we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, which we cannot do. It's not even what would Jesus do, although that's a great phrase. That's actually also law, because we're trying to do it in our own strength. What would he do? I think this is what he would do, and we go do it. It's not even that. It's not even what would Jesus do. I mean, even just thinking, the disciples were with Jesus for 3 years. They didn't have a clue what he would do. They didn't know what would happen next. They always were wrong when they assumed something. So, you know, why should we presume to know what he would do? But rather just go, Lord, I don't know what you would do, but I just pray that you guide me in this situation. That you and me, Lord, your life inside of me, that you guide me, that you lead me. That I'm led by the Spirit of God. That I'm led by your Spirit, because I'm a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of me. So this is something that I think the Lord really desires us to comprehend and to understand, to become aware of. And just go, Lord, I want to have that awareness. I want to know that I'm a temple of God. That I want to know this during my week. I don't want to get so caught up in my work that I lose sight of that, but that I'm actually aware of the fact that you are dwelling inside of me. That you did not just go, I'm going to die for you, and that's it. But that he said, I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to give you my resurrected life. I'm going to impart that resurrected life into your life so that you've got the power as a believer to live as a believer. That you can do what I expect from you to do, because alone you can't do it. And that's always what happens, is that we get burdened. We get frustrated in the Christian life. And the sign when you know that you are frustrated is that you're doing it in your own power. You're doing it in your own strength. And just going back to that, Lord, bring me to that awareness. Bring me to that relationship with you, that I know that you are dwelling inside of me, that you are abiding inside of me, that you're living in me, that I'm a vessel of yours, that I'm filled, that we're actually designed for this specific purpose. You are a container that God can live in, if I put it that way. You're more than a container. You're a clay jar. That's what the Bible says. But just that he actually lives inside of you, that's the beauty of it. And just thinking, you know, when you think globally, when you think broader than that, when you think it from God's perspective, that he says, look, Jesus says, it's to your benefit that I'm going away, because the Comforter will come. He goes away and he fills his believers with his Spirit. Upon conversion, immediately you've received the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a believer without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit indwells you. And God says, my people will be filled with my Spirit so that they can reach the world around them. And just thinking how many millions of Christians there are, and just thinking how many millions of Christians are aware of the fact that Jesus Christ lives inside of them, empowering them to live the Christian life. And just going, wow, Lord, this is amazing. It's not my own strength. I can go, I can't do it. And that's absolutely fine. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel 36. You know, sometimes when we hear these things and when we start thinking about them, that Jesus Christ lives inside of us, this truth, it is such a radical thought. I mean, This differentiates Christianity from everything else. Religion. Here you go. Follow these rules. Do this. And God says, well, we saw what happened with the law. The people couldn't do it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to make a new covenant with Israel, and the Gentiles are going to be partakers of that covenant. So Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. New covenant. The new covenant believer. And it's something, you know, we know it. We believe it often intellectually. But do we realize this? Are we aware of it? The new covenant where he says, I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I will redeem you. And then he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. The new man. Once we regenerated, when you're born again, at that moment, we receive a new heart and a new spirit. And he removes, here he says, the heart of stone. But then he says, I will put my spirit within you. Because those things alone, a new heart and a new spirit, still does not give us the power to live the Christian life. It gives us the desire, because we've got a change of heart, but it does not give us the power. And unfortunately, in every believer's life, there's still something left of the old man. The old man has been crucified, but there's the flesh. And the flesh still has power. And that's really the thing. If we do things in our own strength, what we're actually doing, we're living in the power of our own strength. We're actually living in the flesh. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, carnal Christians. That's what he says. If we're living in our own strength, that's like being a carnal Christian, because we cannot fulfill what God's actually asking us to. We cannot live that life that he's asking us. So he's saying, I will give you my spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So he gives us his spirit, and he will cause us to walk as we depend upon him. This does not make us robots. That he's going to cause you, like, you know, I don't want to go this way, but he's going to cause you to do it. No. He's going to cause us, as we live in relationship to him and as we looking to him and depending and relying upon him and going, Lord, I need you to guide me within this. I need you to direct me. So when we think about this new covenant, it's radical. It is absolutely radical. What I'm telling you here this morning, I mean, it's absolutely radical. I saw a guy years ago. You know that sign on computers, you get that Intel inside and you've got that little sign. And he had this t-shirt on, Jesus inside. And I was just thinking, like, well, you know, if I'd be wearing that shirt, you know, you want to make sure that there's that communion with the Lord the whole time. Not that you do stupid things and that people look at him and go, serious? Are you saying Jesus is inside of you? You must be joking. And that's really, as Christians, you know, if we're living in our own strength, if we're trying to do things in our own power, then people will actually see our walk and they see where we stumble and stuff and they'll go, really? But if Christ's life is inside of us, if he lives through us, if his power, his spirit, his life is inside of us, diffused into our being, that his nature becomes evident through our personality. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. Radical. This is the new covenant. He is our resource. He lives inside of us. And this is really the starting point of Christianity. Really, if it would actually be Christianity 101. Just going, Jesus lives inside of you. When you confess your sins and you repent of them and you receive the Lord Jesus, we even know that. We receive the Lord Jesus. He doesn't leave us again, but he dwells inside of us. And that's the life of the believer, living in his power. Then also in John 15, you can turn there. We can look at it actually from verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. The word of God, just simply teaching that he is the vine and we are the branches. The branch is simply the conductor of the actual life of the vine. The life of the vine is what brings forth the fruit. And the branch is conducting that life. And that's what the world needs to see. Because so often we can try in our own strength to love people, to be filled with joy, to be filled with peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We can try to instruct ourselves, to instruct our flesh really, on how to behave. There's a beautiful story that I heard where a pastor was saying there was a family with two kids and they got a little pig. And that pig, they started teaching that pig, dressing that pig up, teaching it manners. And everything it did was just amazing. Everybody that came to visit was just like, man, this is such an amazing pig. And it was just trained. One day they left the door open. It sprinted outside and it looked for the first mud puddle. Jump in. Roll itself in. And when we try to live the Christian life in our flesh, that's exactly really what we do. No, we can train our flesh to behave in a certain way. We can be kind to people, but there will be occasions when the true flesh rears its head, when it shows, when it becomes evident. And really what we desire is to have Christ's nature inside of us. That's our desire as believers. That whatever we go through, whatever circumstances we are in, whatever pressures come our way, that the nature of Christ comes through us. That how he would react in that circumstance, that's what comes through. Not that our flesh comes through. And it's just really knowing, going back to that first question, do you know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Are you aware of that? Are you reaching out to him? Are you abiding in him? Are you intertwined with him? Are you like a branch inside of that vine? By going, Lord, your life through me, no other way. I don't want to continue another day as a believer living in my own strength, because this is frustrating. But I want to live with your power. And that is a life of dependency. When we look at Jesus' life all through the gospel, One thing that shows the whole time, I can't do anything on my own. I'm trusting the Father. Even what I speak is from the Father. He just continually sees this over and over and over again. He shows us dependency upon the Father. And he says to us, just as the Father sent me, so I send you. In dependency. There's an absolute dependency. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That dependency upon the Lord Jesus, that his nature is infused in our personality, that his life is inside of us, that gives life to these bodies. A living relationship with that vine. It means communion with him, to abide in him. And the sap, the life of the vine, flows through the branches to produce the fruit. The life of the vine flows through the branches to bear the fruit. What a beautiful thing. One of the last scriptures I want to look at is John 1. You just turn with me to John 1. John 1 verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Speaking about his life. In him was life, that same life that he's given to us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. To just go, Lord, I understand this. It is your life. It is your life inside of me that is the light of men. When you continue reading John, you'll see that darkness did not comprehend it. A lot of people do not comprehend it. But then it continues and it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So there are some that will receive it, that will see it. But our life should be that. Lived by the power of the Lord. Not just religion, not just a life in our own strength, but a life that's in dependency upon him. That's Christianity. That's the new covenant. So, just want to encourage you to just go over these scriptures. Think about these scriptures. Look at these scriptures from every angle. Study them yourselves. When I was in Germany, as I was thinking and meditating upon these things, I turned on the music video, and right in the middle of the video, some guy said, and preach these truths to yourself every day. And I thought, that's exactly it. Don't forget about the new covenant. Preach this truth to yourself every day. Going, Lord, remind me of this truth. I can't do it in my own strength. You know, the beauty of the Christian life, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, he says, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. If you look at the verse before, it's specifically speaking about sanctification, about the Christian walk. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. My Christian walk depended upon him. Lord, I'm going to entrust you even with this message because I don't even know completely how to live this. I don't even know, I might do this for a week and it will fade away again. No, Lord, help me to do this. Lord, I'm dependent upon you to have this life, to have a life of victory of you dwelling inside of me. I'm dependent upon you. Faithful is he who calls you who will also do it. Going, Lord, here I am. This is my Christian life. I want to live that life, but I need you to do it because I can't. Dependence. Starting point, dependence upon Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that, Lord, that our Christian life is dependent upon you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you do not only redeem us to forgive us, Lord, but that you regenerated us. that you did not only give us a new spirit and a new heart and made us a new person, but Lord, that you gave us your spirit to empower us. Thank you, Lord, that we still have our own personality, how you love individuality and creativity. But thank you, Lord God, that your life is inside of us, that you diffuse your life through us, that you diffuse the fragrance of Jesus Christ through our lives everywhere we go. Lord, that's our desire. Lord, help us to believe this. Help us to know the new covenant. Help us to continually remind ourselves that we are in the new covenant, that we do not depend upon our own strength, that we do not simply try to be a Christian, but it's your life inside of us, Lord. Father, thank you for those scriptures that tell us that faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. He who started a good work in you will lead it into completion. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We want to ask you, Lord God, to do this beautiful work inside of our lives, that we might be those that are filled with you. And Lord, we desire to keep on being filled with you. But thank you, Lord God, for your life inside of us. We praise you this morning. Cause us to walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.